Finland is 75% forest. Not woodland, not parks, forest. 23 million hectares of it, spruce and pine and birch, running from the Baltic to the Russian border and up over the Arctic Circle. And in most of it, there is no road and no light and no reason for anybody to be there. And I want to be precise about something, because it changes how you hear everything that follows. In the other countries in this series, the forest is a place. You go into it, you come out of it. It has an edge. In Finnish folklore, the forest is not a place. So, before we start, have you ever been somewhere completely silent? Genuinely silent? No traffic, no hum, nothing. And found that instead of being peaceful, it made you want to keep turning around. Have you ever been lost somewhere you knew? Not somewhere new. Somewhere you'd been 100 times, where the path simply stopped being where you knew it was. And for about 30 seconds, you had no idea which direction anything was in. And in those 30 seconds, before it resolved, before you spotted the gate or landmark and felt stupid, did some part of you consider seriously that it might not resolve? Night 2 of 4. Finland. There are 3 tales tonight. The first one takes children. The second one takes adults. And it's the single most frightening thing I've found anywhere in Nordic folklore. And I've been looking for a while. And the third one isn't frightening at all. It's the saddest thing in this series, and it'll be the one you remember. I'm the tale teller. The sun is not coming back yet. Finland has 188,000 lakes. That's not a folklore exaggeration. That's the survey figure. 188,000, plus the rivers, plus the wells, plus the sea. There is essentially nowhere in Finland where you are far from water, and the water is dark, tannin-stained, peat-fed brown-black, so that 0.5 meter down, you cannot see anything at all. And in that water, there is the Naki. Every Finnish child knows this. It's not obscure, and it's not historical. This is a thing parents still say, in the same tone of voice they'd use about a busy road. Don't lean over the water. Naki will pull you in. That's it. That's the whole warning. It lives under the dock, under the bridge, under the ice in the well. And it waits for a child to lean out far enough over the edge to see their own face in the water. And then a hand comes up out of the dark and takes them by the front of their coat and pulls. Now, I've thought about this one a lot, because on the surface, it's the least interesting monster in this series. No epic, no ballad, a drowning warning with a face on it. But look at what they built. The Naki has no fixed shape. In some accounts, it's a beautiful woman sitting on a rock, combing her hair. In others, it's a horse standing at the water's edge, saddled and patient. In others, it's a dog. In others, it's a man with a beard of waterweed, or something with too many parts, or a shape that's wrong in a way that I couldn't describe, and it is whatever the person looking at would be interested and would go closer to. And that's the design. A pit, or a current, or a patch of thin ice doesn't need to disguise itself, because a child will fall in anyway. The Naki has a shape because it doesn't want you to fall in. It wants you to walk over. There's a detail I love, which is the countermeasure. If you had to go to the water to fetch, to wash, to fish, you said its name aloud first, out loud into the empty air before you went near, because a Narki that has been named cannot take you. Recognition breaks it. The whole thing runs on you not knowing what you're looking at. So there is, somewhere in Finland tonight, a lake with a wooden dock on it. And at some point in the last 100 years, a 5-year-old stood at the end of that dock in the summer light and said a word out loud to the water before kneeling down to look at the fish. Obviously nothing happened. That's how you'd know it worked. Here's the next tale. There's a Finnish word, Metsänpeitto. It translates as the forest cover or forest hiding, and it describes something that was believed to happen with enough regularity that the language needed a term for it, and here is what it means. A person walks into the forest, a person who knows the forest, a farmer, a berry picker, a child sent out for the cows, someone who has walked these particular trees their entire life, and they don't come back. So the village goes out, and this is a small community. Everybody knows the ground, and they search properly, in a line, calling, covering the area, and they don't find them. Now, so far this is just a missing person, and missing people are ordinary and sad and happen everywhere. But Metsänpeitto isn't the word for missing. Metsänpeitto is the belief that the person is still there. That's the whole thing. They're not lost. They haven't wandered off. They are exactly where you're standing. They may be 6 feet from the search line. They may be standing directly in front of you, and you cannot see them. The forest has put something over them, covered them. And here is the part that I genuinely had to put down and walk away for the first time I read it. The person under the cover is conscious. In the accounts, and these are all collected accounts recorded in the 19th and early 20th centuries from people who said it happened to them, the person describes being aware the entire time. They know they're in the forest. They can hear the search party. They can hear people calling their name. They can sometimes see them walking past, and they cannot make themselves heard, and they cannot make themselves seen, and they cannot make their legs take them toward the voices. Some of them describe the forest looking wrong while they were under it, that the trees were in slightly the wrong places, that there was a building where no building is, that they walked for hours through country that doesn't exist within 20 miles of where they were standing. And some of them described nothing strange at all, just the ordinary woods they'd known all their lives, and the sound of their own name being shouted by their own brother, getting closer and then further away, and then not coming back. I said Denmark's horror was what's underneath. Finland is worse, and it's this. You are not taken anywhere. Nothing hurts you. There is no creature. Nobody arrives. You are simply removed from the category of things that can be found, while remaining exactly where you are, in full possession of your senses, listening to the people who love you, look for you, and give up. Now, the cures. And the cures are the strangest thing in this episode, because they are so specific and so consistent across regions and so, well, completely bonkers to me. If you believed you were under the forest cover, you were to reverse yourself. Turn your coat inside out and put it back on. Take your shirt off and wear it backwards. Take off your shoes and swap them. And put the left shoe on the right foot. I can tell you now that I will never, ever be pulled under the cover of the forest, because at some point during the week, I sometimes do one or perhaps all of these at any given point. That's it, though. That was the remedy. And it was believed all over Finland, and versions of it exist in Sweden and Estonia and Karelia, too. And it makes a horrible kind of sense, doesn't it? Because if the forest has covered you, has taken the specific shape of you and put a lid over it, then the way out is to stop being that shape. Change yourself. Make yourself into something the cover doesn't fit. Come out from under it sideways. There is a version I keep thinking about from Ostrobothnia, where the advice was to take off your clothes entirely and put them on again in the wrong order and then walk backwards. Picture actually doing it. Close your eyes and imagine this. A grown adult in the woods, in the failing light, who's been shouting for 3 hours and has stopped shouting, sitting down on the pine needles and taking their shoes off very carefully and swapping them over because it's the only thing left in the world that they can try. And the last piece, sometimes people come back. That's in the account too. Days later, occasionally weeks, found sitting somewhere that had been searched 4 times, or walking into the yard at dusk, uninjured. And what those people said over and over in different districts and different decades was that they had been trying to come home the entire time, and that they didn't want to talk about it. Last one. And we leave the woods for this, and go to the only place in Finnish myth that's further out than the forest. Tuonela, the land of the dead. And you get there by crossing a river, black water moving slowly, and it's always described as slow, which is worse than a torrent, on a ferry rowed by the daughter of Tuoni, who is death. She'll take you across. That's not the difficulty. Everyone gets across. Now, there was a man called Lemminkainen. And Lemminkainen was the sort of man every mythology has one of. Handsome, reckless, extremely good at everything, and certainly ignores the rules. You know, entirely certain that the rules were about other people and for other people. He wanted to marry, and the mother of the woman he wanted set him tasks, the way they do. And the last task was this. Go to Tuonela, to the land of the dead, and shoot the swan that swims on the Black River. And his mother begged him not to go. He went, and he got there. He came down to the black water with his bow, and he found the swan, and he drew, and a blind man was standing there. An old blind herdsman, a man Lemminkainen had met years before and had mocked and dismissed and not thought about since, because that is who Lemminkainen is. And the blind man had been waiting there for years for this, and he sent a water snake through Lemminkainen's heart. And Lemminkainen went into the river. And the son of Tuoni came down to the water with a blade, and he cut him into pieces. And the number is given, and the number is 8. And the pieces went into the black current and were carried down into the deep of Tuonela and scattered. And far away at home, his mother noticed that the hairbrush was bleeding. That was the sign they'd agreed. He'd left a brush behind and told her, "If this ever runs blood, I am dead." And she went out, an old woman on foot, and she asked everything she passed where her son was. She asked the trees. She asked the road. She asked the moon, and the moon wouldn't help her. And then she asked the sun. And the sun told her. And so she went to the smith and had a rake made, copper, with a handle 100 fathoms long and teeth 500 fathoms deep. And she walks into the land of the dead, an old woman with a garden rake. And she stood in the Black River, and she started dragging. She raked downstream, and she brought up nothing. She raked clockwise, and she brought up nothing. She raked again, and she brought up a shirt, and it was his. And she kept going. She raked again, and brought up a stocking, again, and a hat. And then she began to bring up her son, piece by piece. Out of the black water, in the dark, alone, in the country of the dead, this woman went through that river with a rake until she had all 8 parts of him. And then she knelt down on the bank and put him back together, bone to bone, vein to vein, the right way around, in the right order, the way you'd mend anything. And she sang the joins closed. And when she was finished, she had her son, whole, perfect, every part of him where it belonged. And he was dead. Because that was never the hard part. So she sent a bee. Yes, a bee. Up past the tops of the trees, past the moon, up through the 9 heavens to the halls of Ukko, the sky god, to bring back honey. And the bee went and came back, and it wasn't enough. So she sent it again, further, to the 9th heaven, to the highest place there is. And the bee came back with honey from the halls of the greatest god in the Finnish sky. And she rubbed it into her son, and he opened his eyes. And the first thing Lemminkainen said, having been dead, having been cut into 8 pieces, having been dragged out of a river in the underworld limb at a time by his own mother, was that he'd been asleep a long time, and he'd slept well. He had no idea. He never knew what she did, and she didn't tell him. 3 Finnish things, something in the water that takes the shape of whatever you'd walk toward. A forest that doesn't take you anywhere, that simply stops letting you be found while you stand in it, listening. And a woman with a rake in the land of the dead who got her son back and never mentioned it. And here's what they have in common, and it's not what you'd expect. None of them are evil. There's no villain in any of tonight's story. The Naki isn't cruel. It's hungry. The way water is hungry. The forest doesn't hate the person it covers. It isn't angry. It hasn't been provoked. It doesn't want anything. It closes the way a wound closes. And Tuonela isn't hell. Nobody being punished there. It's simply the place where the dead are, and it has a ferry, and the ferry runs. That's the Finnish note, and it's why this material gets under people. The other Nordic countries gave you things that want you. Finland gives you a world that is simply indifferent and enormous, and doesn't notice the difference between you being alive and you not being. And all against that, against a forest the size of a country and a river you can't come back across. Finnish folklore puts up exactly 1 defense, and it's the same one every time. Say the name out aloud. Turn your coat inside out. Walk into the underworld with a rake and start dragging. Small, stubborn, practical. Faintly ridiculous things done by ordinary people against something that cannot possibly be beaten. That's the whole of Finland, that is, really. Before you go, have you ever been somewhere completely silent and wanted to keep turning around? Have you ever been lost somewhere you knew? And in those 30 seconds before it resolved, did you consider seriously that it might not? If it ever doesn't, take your shoes off, swap them over, put your coat on inside out. It sounds ridiculous. Do it anyway. That's night 2. 2 to go. Tomorrow is Norway, and we go out to sea. And then we watch an old woman walk from farm to farm carrying a rake and a broom. And I'll explain then why which one she's holding is the only question that matters. The candles stay lit.